In staying on the road today, I'm going to discuss the RV slide topper fabric, when to replace it, what to watch for, and why it matters. And then in quick tips, I'm going to discuss the flare tight seal for that emergency flare fitting repair. And then in RV Envy, I'm going to share this basic electrical repair kit. I'm Eric Stark. Welcome to the Smart RVer podcast. If you'd rather be camping than sitting in a repair shop, you're in the right place. Every episode, I walk you through practical DIY maintenance and repairs to keep you on the road. Welcome back, Smart RVers. Today is episode 200, so let's just jump right into it. Now, I do want to throw out this quick reminder. We're coming to the end of winter time in most regions of the United States. Now, you have to do this based on your region and freezing temperatures, but it's probably time to de-winterize your RV and really getting it ready for spring. So if you're at that point, get that RV antifreeze out of there. You know, if you've used air, that's not so bad, but get the RV antifreeze out of there. Get it out of those lines and get fresh water back in there. Remind everybody that this podcast is available on all the podcast channels, Apple Tunes, Spotify, all of them. And also, this podcast is recorded as a video as well and put on YouTube. So you can have just the audio version on YouTube or the video version. Both of them are there. So check that out. That's just a nice reminder that we're everywhere. Isn't that great to be everywhere? The modern world we live in. All right, so let's jump right into staying on the road. We're going to talk about the RV slide topper fabrics, also known as slide out awning fabrics. So when to replace it, what to watch for, and why it matters. Now, you know, I'm talking today about something a lot of RVers don't pay attention to. You know, slide out fabrics, you know, they can start falling apart, failing, not working as well. But we just don't always pay attention to it because it's up high. We don't see it. You know, it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind type thing. Or maybe when the slide room's out, we glance up. Yep, fabric's still there. We're good. Well, it probably needs more attention than that because, you know, these slide out fabrics, they're exposed to a lot of elements. They can go bad, you know, right before our eyes, if you will. So I want to cover what a slide out fabric does in this episode, what causes it to fail, and how to tell when it needs to be replaced, and sometimes why just replacing the fabric is just a smart move to make. And some of this might seem kind of basic, but we got to walk through these steps to really get to it. And by the way, we're going to talk about Sun Pro Manufacturing slide out awning fabrics as the replacement. So this isn't an advertisement for Sun Pro. It's just, you know what, whether you buy Sun Pro or another brand, that's up to you. But Sun Pro is my company. We've been making these for decades now, so we got a lot of experience with it. So now, why does this matter? Why are we talking about this? You know, a lot of RVers, you know, with life being so busy, sometimes they're just looking at the bigger things on their RV. It's like, oh, I got to get tires done before this trip. Oh, the batteries are bad. The converter's not working right. You know, the water heater's not heating like it used to. I think the roof needs to be resealed. Maybe there's a leak. And so those things become priority because let's be honest, that slide out fabric sometimes can wear out pretty bad. You know, it can almost be gauze up there before we replace it sometimes. And that's because it's become secondary. It's not as important, but you know what? The slide out fabric lives outside all year round for most RVs. Even if it's under a carport or an RV port, it's still exposed to the elements, to the heat, maybe not direct sun and rain directly, but wind, dirt, other things. So it gets exposure even in storage, but let alone when it's out, when you're using the RV, the entire thing gets exposure, right? The constant rolling in, rolling out, that wears them out. And if we think about that, remember the old coat hanger deal? You bend a coat hanger, you know, and you bend it enough and it breaks. Fabric's the same way. If you get a piece of fabric and you just keep bending it in the same spot, it'll break. Same principle, just does it differently. So a slide out fabric's taking abuse every day, whether it's rolled out, rolled in, unless it's in a shop or something where it's completely excluded from the elements, right? Protected from all the elements. So we don't want to be surprised when it goes bad because, well, it's one of those things that does go bad. And, you know, a slide-out fabric isn't just about appearance. I mean, granted, you know, a good-looking slide-out fabric definitely makes the RV look better. which is nice, but it also protects the room itself. I mean, I've installed thousands of these fabrics. We've sold thousands of them. In the year 2017, 2018, we sold 1,200 slide out fabrics in one winter season while we were in Arizona. That's a lot of fabrics. And what I noticed is some of them are torn, maybe partial part of the way, you know, three quarters, a third. And that area where it's torn allows the sun, allows the elements, rain to get in there, leaves, dirt, other things. It's just easier to get in there. So that's why it's important. Even a partially torn slide out fabric can be problems. Then, of course, it can mess with how it's going to roll up and how that slide out's even going to function. I've seen awnings actually cause problems for slide rooms because they're not maintained. And that could be the mechanical part of it more than the fabric, but sometimes those fabrics can be real issues as well. And you want to keep the roof of that slide room clean. That's the point, keeping the dirt off it, the twigs, the pine cones, whatever it might be, any moisture, rain. They're not really designed to be a waterproof seal for a slide room. They're more for all the other debris that's a problem and to keep the water off the top of the room. They definitely make a difference. So keeping the roof of the slide out is very important. So when we think about a slide out awning, we don't want to make it just an item that's on the RV. You know, it has a job to do. It's not just there for our visual pleasure, right? It's performing a function. So if the fabric's torn, stretched, missing chunks, you know, it's just not doing the job that it should do. So when we're using RV, you know, we're going to notice things, whether it's the slide out awning related, whether it's water related, the water pump, you know, we pick up stuff. We hear noises. We hear regular noises, abnormal noises. We go, okay, hey, there might be a problem there. So when you think about a slide-out fabric, you know, is it flapping louder than normal? And I say louder than normal because some of them flap no matter what. And depending on the brand of the slide-out awning, that's normal. Like Carefree slide-out awnings don't wind as tight as like a Dometic or a Solera do. And so they might flap a little bit more. Or you might see some cracks in the material. Up there cleaning the roof, hey, there's some cracks in this fabric. The edges are getting a little frayed when you bring it out. You know, it's starting to sag in the middle, getting stretched out. Water's pooling on it. So you get a little bit of a sag, then you get some rain, and now that starts to pool, and that becomes a problem. Just ruins the fabric even more. One edge of the slide-out awning might look worse than the other edge because it's exposed to the wind more often. The fabric looks dry, maybe chalky, getting a little brittle there. You touch it, and it gets kind of crunchy. Maybe there's some small tears creeping in, like right at the awning rail, you know, where it's comes to the next to the RV. It's starting to split there, tear. So those are all signs. So those are, I guess you could say, early signs. It's time to start thinking about replacing that fabric. You know, and you don't want to wait too long because sooner or later, that whole fabric's just going to fail. And, you know, it's nice when it fails at home rather than out on a trip when you really like it. Maybe you're up in the mountains, you got all these pine cones, pine needles falling on the top of it or whatever it might be. You're in a wet area, gets all this rain on there. You bring in your room, all this water comes in with you, right? Yeah. Who wants that? So we want to make sure that we're taking care of it and noticing these things. Now, the question we get quite often, you know, we get a lot of phone calls and people ask, why do these things fail? And I find it kind of interesting sometimes because, you know, just this week, a customer called and he was talking about replacing a slide-out fabric. And he had this Carefree slide-out awning that it's not even Carefree's history anymore. That slide-out awning is so far gone, it's amazing that he has one. I've only seen a couple of these, and they're like the dodo bird, man. You just don't see them anywhere. His fabric was 20 years old, and he's consumed with why it failed. I don't understand. It only lasted 20 years. 20 years is an exceptionally long time for a slide-out awning. I mean, that's amazing, 20 years for any awning fabric. And they don't last forever. If you get 7 years, 10 years out of it, you're doing well. You know, I think most fabrics are going to last 5 to 7 or 8 years, you know, on a good day. The Dometic black fabrics don't seem to last as long for some reason. They just fail. They're exposed to the sun. They get old, weather extremes. You know, that going in and out, the constant tension that's on it, the wind, the stress from the wind, things that are sitting on the roof, which the weight of it's not really, I mean, you think about what's going to be on the top of your slide out. The weight probably isn't the issue, but you know, you get pine cones, especially heavy ones, that have little needles on them, and they prick a hole in the top of the slide out fabric. Well, that becomes a problem. And then they're stored outside, you know, just little things. Maybe it's pooling and you don't really address that issue. So that's what can make them fail, or that's what does make them fail. It could be one, two, three, several of those things. So when it fails, it fails. And sometimes they're going to fail prematurely for whatever reason. Maybe it's the quality of the fabric. Maybe it's not the original one that came on the RV. It was replaced and it's not the same quality as the factory one, or it's worse quality, I should say, because the factory isn't always the best either. So we want to think about those things. That's why it can fail. And sometimes they just fail, or you get a real bad wind and it just tears it. You know, the fabric could be a year old and you get the right wind, right direction, and it just tears it. So it brings us really to the bigger question. When an awning fabric fails on a slide out, let me emphasize, we're talking about slide outs here. The principles apply to a patio awning, but that'll be another episode. So when the fabric fails, do you have to replace the entire slide out awning? 99% of the time, no. Most slide out awnings, the hardware lasts, I don't want to say forever, but man, they last a long time. I've only replaced a few slide out awnings because they were damaged. Like the customer, you know, took a corner and cut it too close and hit the slide out awning, damaged a roll or two, broke a bracket, or the wind caught it just right and just kind of teared it up. They're unusual circumstances for them to have a full replacement. And the slide out awnings are pretty durable, and most of them today you can still get parts for them. And I say most of them, not all of them. So they're pretty stout, and the roller tubes don't just bend. I mean, like I said, extreme wind or sometimes real long awnings, you know, they're more susceptible to wind damage or hitting something, but that's about it. So when your fabric fails, you know, look at everything, make sure there's nothing obvious. You're probably going to be just fine ordering a fabric and putting one on, and you're done with it. So just the fabric makes it a lot cheaper, a lot easier to do, right? So just make sure the awning is working correctly. Now, the other thing, if you're going to just replace the fabric, which I'm sure that's all you need to do most of the time, is measure it correctly. You know, you want to look at the awning first, make sure everything's good. If it is, then you're just going to do the fabric. So you don't want to just eyeball the fabric and look, oh, I think it's 70 inches. I think it's 6 feet. I think it's 8 feet. And oddly enough, we get that. People just, they call us, well, I think it's about 13 feet, and they're not sure, and then they want to order it. Well, you need to measure it, because if you get it wrong, it's yours. Awning fabrics are not returnable. Dometic, Carefree, Solera, which is Lippert, they don't take them back, and neither do we, and neither do most other companies that are reputable. Because awning fabrics have a lifespan. For a good quality fabric, it's in a box, and they don't last forever in that box. So they're not returnable. So keep that in mind. And we don't hide that. It's reality. They're just not returnable. We've tried it, and we get them back, and we just throw them in the trash because they get pinholes in them from being folded up. So keep that in mind. Now, it doesn't mean you have to panic about that and worry about getting a fabric and it's going to have pinholes right out of the box. Very, very, very rarely happens. But measure correctly. That's really the point I was making there. I got a little sidetracked, like I do so often, go down a different road. And so you get a tape measure, you go up on the roof, and you're going to measure the length of the fabric. That's what we call it, the long measurement, and just the fabric. We don't want the measurement of the room. We don't need to know how far out the room goes. We don't need to know the size of the hardware, just that one measurement. And I say it that way because quite often some companies have you jump through all these hoops. They want you to measure maybe the room, then add 3 inches to it, measure this, take off six, measure that, add six, do this and take off an inch and a half. Just measure the fabric. And if there's no fabric, you measure the available space on the roller tube. And I say that because on, let's say, a Dometic slide out awning, even a Solera, they have caps on the end of the roller tube and they take up about an inch, half an inch on each side. So you wouldn't want the fabric to go over the cap. You want it inside of the cap. So if you measure the available space between the two caps or the available space on the roller tube, then we can tell you what size you need. And typically we'd have you take an inch off of each side. That's if you don't have a fabric. But if you have a fabric, just measure the long measurement. That's all you need to do. Now, another thing that comes up quite a bit too is the type of slide out awning you have. I don't want to sound cavalier or like it doesn't matter, but it really doesn't matter. Like, who cares? It's not that bad. But my point is, slide out awnings, especially Carefree, their ecosystem, every fabric's the same. It has a small bead, as we call it, and a big bead. The big, even if you have a Carefree awning, now this is a Carefree slide out awning. If it has a flexible metal weather shield on it, which there's not a lot of them out there, they take a quarter inch bead, which is what we call the big bead. Carefrees are all the same. The only awning, slide out awning, that makes a difference are the Dometic ones, or A&E, that have a flexible metal weather shield, not a rigid metal weather shield. And some Dometics have that rigid metal weather shield. It rolls up into it, the cover's out on the end of the slide out, or on the side of the slide out, where the flexible is next to the side of the RV. And it's flexible, so when the awning rolls in, or the slide out goes in, the awning rolls up, it rolls up underneath that metal cover. That is the only one that makes a difference because it needs a smaller bead than the quarter inch bead. So keep that in mind. That's the only one that makes a difference. Otherwise, they're all the same. Same size beads, same depth of fabric. And the depth of the fabric from the factory, like Carefree, Dometic, Solera, is about 47, 48 inches, depending on the brand. So all of ours are made to that same depth. So in some cases, if your room only comes out of, you know, let's say 17 inches, you're going to have an extra turn or two, maybe two and a half on the roller tube. So material will wind up on the roller tube. And you know what's cool about that is if you don't tell it, it won't know. Those awnings are dumb. So if you know, hey, you got extra material on you, it might not like it if you tell it. So don't tell it, all right? Okay, that sounds kind of silly, but it doesn't matter. The extra material just rolls up. It doesn't change anything on the awning. It doesn't change how it works. Now, there are times where you might say, I don't want that extra material. I think it's going to be easier to install without it. You know, like your awning only, or your slide room only comes out like 17 inches. And if you call us up and say, hey, Eric, I don't want my fabric to the 47th inch depth. I want it to be made to 30 inches. We can do that. No extra charge. We do that. So you don't have to worry about that. We can make it to the way you want. But remember, when you order it by the length, that's what you're going to get. So if you order 156 inches, you're getting 156 inches. We don't add, subtract. So keep that in mind. It's very easy. And one thing about us, we don't mind the phone calls. And I know that's changing today. Boy, oh boy, customer service is on the decline. It's amazing how bad it's getting. So what's nice here is it's an easy process to do, and we will walk you through it. And even installing the fabric, I can help you every step of the way. We don't have videos on it. We just haven't done them. No rhyme or reason why. There's a lot of videos out there. I've watched some of them. Some of them are pretty bad. Some of them are good. They're spot on, but it's trying to find the right one. And sometimes people call us, you know, I watched this video, I think I can do it. And they start explaining it and the video is wrong. And so I explained to them how to do it right. And, you know, I can also email you instructions, text you instructions, and I'll walk you through it on the phone. If you're doing the job during the week, you call us while you're in the middle of the job, we'll help you with it. So we're here to help you. We will make this happen for you. That's part of our customer service. Now, there might be times where you say, I don't want to do this. Maybe you're unsure about the spring tension. You know, you don't want to break a finger. You're concerned about that. Or the slide out awning's like 20 feet long, 25 feet long. You're like, that's just pretty long. I don't want to monkey with that. Then you hire someone else. But, you know, 13 feet and under is pretty simple. 14, 15, 16 feet. It might get awkward. I mean, a 6-foot one, those are dreams come true. You know, you just zip, 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 it's done. Make it sound so easy, right? But most cases, you're going to want two people, you and someone to help you. One to pull the fabric and one to help guide it in. Because the farther away you get from where you're feeding it in, the harder it is to just pull it. So you need someone to feed the fabric. It's real simple. And getting the awning set up to do that, piece of cake. These things are really easy. And you don't have to take everything apart on them. You know, a lot of times that's what happens. They come all apart and the tension's gone on the springs. I can walk you through it. You never even have to lose the tension on the springs. And hopefully that's what these videos are showing. I know in the past some have showed that, but they're kind of sketchy on how they got there. So like I said, you can call us. We'll walk you through this entire process. We are the experts, man. We know these things inside and out. I mean, how many technicians out there have done 1,200 slide-out fabrics in 6 months? Not a whole lot. And I'm not bragging. It just shows what we do. And when we were in Arizona, we sold a ton of awning fabrics. So now just remember there's tension on the spring. So don't underestimate it. Don't think I got this covered. Be cautious of it. People have broken fingers, broken hands because they're not careful. They do things that you don't have to do. They start taking something apart. They're not aware that there's going to be tension on it and it slips out of their hand and maybe it breaks a finger. I mean, I've had my knuckles slapped, but you know, it's only because the awning had serious problems and hard to tell what's going on. Or I was just stupid. I don't know. Either way, just be cautious, but don't let that freak you out like you can't do it. So I hope that explains it in a pretty simple terms. And like I said, SunPro MFG, if you go to the website, the slide out fabrics are there. And I'm also going to put a coupon code in the description of this podcast. And it's going to be for 10% off. And I think it's the Smart RV or 10, but it will be in the description. So check that out as well. And then you can just copy and paste it right into the website when you're going through the checkout process. So if your awning is fat, cracking, fading, falling apart, just take care of it. It's better to do it earlier than later. And like I said, SunPro Manufacturing is part of our ecosystem, so we have complete control over it. And while you're on the website, look around. We've been adding more products to it that line up with what we're talking about on the show. So we're kind of building it out. And we've had a website in the past filled with products, but we discontinued it during the pandemic because we just couldn't get so many items. We said, forget it. You know, we're done with that. Go to the website and you will find the fabrics there. And like I said, you get 10% off and you can call and talk to me. That makes it worth it right there. Some of you probably think, oh man, listen to this guy. What a fool. All right. So we're just having some fun here, everybody. Now let's go on to the quick tips. And this part is pretty cool. I really like this item, the flare tight seal. So this is an emergency. Emergency might not be the right explanation here, but it becomes an emergency if you can't get a flared fitting to make that seal, especially if it's propane. So on your RV, where are you going to find a flared fitting? Sometimes the feed line, you got the line that goes from your propane regular down to the bottom of your, let's say it's a travel trailer, is going to go to a flared fitting. A motorhome would be similar. It's going to go from the regulator to a flared fitting. Generally, that's a half inch flared fitting, but that's okay. And then on your water heater, your furnace, and your refrigerator, you're going to have 3/8 flared fittings. And on the appliance, it's a male end. So 3/8 male flare is on the end of the appliance. And same on that feed line. And you might have a catalytic heater. Again, it would have a 3/8 flare. 3/8 flare is the most common size you'll find in an RV. Half inch is generally on the main feed for the propane. And that's usually the only place you have those flared fittings because they have copper lines on them in a lot of cases. Not every RV has copper. Sometimes you just have that fitting and it becomes an issue. Let's get back to the point here. These flare tight seals, and you can go to flaretight.com and I'll have a link in the description. So let's say you have a a copper line going to your refrigerator. And no matter what you do to tighten it, I mean, you've done everything. You've put pipe dope on it, thread tape. You've done everything you shouldn't do, and you've tightened it, and it just still leaks. And I say you shouldn't do because you really don't have to put any sealants or sealing tapes on flared fittings, none of them. And it still leaks. It's just got a leak. It's a tiny leak, but it's propane. You can't have a propane leak. You know, that's not good. Any kind of leak, whether it's water, air, propane, no bueno. You know, propane go boom. So we don't want that. So these flare tight seals come in handy when you can't cut the end of the copper line off because of where it's at. It would be so awkward to do. You couldn't get the tools in there to cut it and re-flare it to do it properly. So these flare tight seals go on the end of the male end. So the 3/8 male flare fitting, you'd put it on the end of it. Then you put your flare nut on there and you tighten it up and it'll fix that seal issue. These things are just awesome. Now that's for minor leaks. If you got a major problem, like there's a crack in the line, and sometimes flared fittings on the copper side, you know, the tubing, if you look inside the nut, the tubing itself can have a hairline crack. This flare tight seal is not really for that. It's for those ones where it's just not seating properly, just needs a little help. So a crack, you definitely got to take care of. And that might become a hassle for you. I get it. Especially if you can't get to that line and you can't cut the end off. It's really hard to do. But you might have to bite the bullet and do it. So it's just for the basic non-sealers where it's no cracks in the line, no physical damage. It's just not seating for some reason. So check it out. These things might be something you'd want to keep in your toolbox. FlareTight has them on their website. They're not inexpensive. They're kind of expensive for what they are. So if you do buy some for your toolbox, yeah, I went and get a bunch of them. In fact, I think they only come in like 3 packs or something. They don't sell them like in 20 packs. They probably do, but you wouldn't want a 20 pack. That's for sure. A 3 pack, you might only use one in the life of your RV or two. That's what I mean. It's not an everyday thing, but when you need it, you need it. And so if you keep one in your toolbox, just make sure it's not going to get crushed and ruined by the time you go to use it. You know, you're out on the road and I can fix this and, oh man, this thing's ruined, you know. But having it on hand, that can be a lifesaver for you. So that's going to be in our description, in the description, flaretight.com. So check that out when you have some time and think about whether you want them in your toolbox or not. Now let's get to RV Envy and let's talk about this electrical repair kit I put together. So there is nothing like life-changing about this. It's a crimper, a wire stripper, and a multimeter. And the reason why I put it together in a kit is because all three of these items are what I use. So right now, I replaced my wire stripper and crimper with the ones that are in this kit. These things work really nice. I like it, especially like the crimper. It's easy to use. It doesn't break the terminals like mine does. It has a tendency of ruining the terminals, so you have to be very careful with it. But I like the style of it because it's long and you can get it into tight places, although it has a wire cutter on the end of it. So you got to make sure you're not cutting a wire while you're crimping something, right? If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't done it, you'll find out soon enough. But always make sure there's no wires behind it as you're crimping something in a tight place. And it's easy to get in there. Some crimpers, you know, the inexpensive ones, they got a yellow handle on them. They're kind of big and clunky. I hate them. They might work okay, but sometimes they're just really awkward to get into tight places or even not so tight places. That's why I like these longer ones. And then the wire strippers, just having good wire strippers that strip the wire the way it's supposed to is nice. And they do wear out if you're using it a lot. And then the multimeter, this is the exact same multimeter I use here, not all the time. I have two different ones. I bounce back and forth depending on where I'm at, what I'm doing. And they do the same functionality. It's just where I'm at in the building or, you know, if I'm inside, I'll have the multimeter that's in the kit. But that multimeter is the same one. I have two of them at home, one in my shop and one that's in my go bag for my RV or if I go off-roading. I have an impact. So I can change tires real easy. It's the DeWalt half-inch drive impact. It goes in that bag with another cordless drill and a few other little trinkets. Just did I take and go. And so what I'm getting at is it's something that we use. We sell them in our store. It's a product we can count on. It's made by Southwire, so the multimeter is a really nice one. And multimeters make life so much easier when you're tracing problems, whether it's 110 volts, 12 volts. Knowing whether you have voltage or not eliminates so much time in trying to find a problem. And, you know, I talk to people all the time, and it's like, well, do you have voltage? I don't know. I'm pretty sure I do. I'm plugged into shore power. Well, plugged into shore power, pretty sure I do, isn't voltage. That's a hope, right? I hope I have voltage. So when you have a voltmeter, you can check it, and you can be sure whether you have voltage or not. Like recently, a customer bought his RV in and ended up in the shop, and he replaced the slide-out switch. But it didn't work after he put the switch in, so he thought it was what he did, right? It probably ended up being that because he grounded out the hot wire and didn't realize it. But the way he wired the switch in was fine. It's just during that process, he probably shorted the fuse because it didn't have voltage. And he never checked it for voltage. He just assumed, why wouldn't it have voltage? I'm plugged into shore power. Well, his assumption was wrong because there was a blown fuse. So if he had a voltmeter and he checked for power, he would have seen he didn't have power and he could have changed the trajectory of trying to solve this problem. It's just, that's it. When you don't have the experience, you don't know this stuff. You know, it's sometimes you don't think about it, but thinking about it's important. And voltage, you got to know whether you have voltage or not. It saves so much time. And I know sometimes it's a hassle. Like, I got to get my meter. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's kind of hard to get to this, but it rules everything out. Okay. So the voltmeter, it's a must have. Now you might look at this toolkit. It's going to Sun Pro Manufacturing. You might say, hey, you know what? That's cool, but I got this stuff or I can get it on my own. And that's fine too. I'm just putting it out there. It's available. It's what we use. We know it works, right? It's tried and tested. Go ahead and go to Sun Pro again, as I said, and check out other products we have that I've talked about on the podcast. Check out the slide out awning fabrics. Even if you don't need one today, take a look, get an idea what they cost so you know what's involved. You know, you're going to need one sooner or later, and see what other stuff we have there. And then also share the podcast with others. Let other people know about it. We really appreciate that. We love to hear people sharing it, hear about that, experiences. If you have questions, like I said, call me. Phone number, the contact information will be in the description of the podcast. All right, so that's bringing us closer to the end here, everyone. So next episode is going to be 201, and I'm going to talk about a holding tank product that I think is going to change everything. Like, we're waiting for it to come in right now. We've got a couple pallets coming. We're going in deep on this. We'll be the only company in the United States selling it. So I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to say the name yet. I'm saving it. Going to build some anticipation here, right? So that's going to be in 2 weeks on episode number 201. And then after that, episode 202, I'm going to talk about another product that, again, we will be the only one in the United States selling it. And this product is going to be awesome. And it's for the fresh water system. I'll put a little teaser out there. It's going to be awesome. So I'm getting ahead now. Now we're episode 203. Wow. All right. Making progress today. So here we are. We're coming to the end of the show. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Smart RVer Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Eric Stark, and if you'd rather be camping than sitting in a repair shop, you're in the right place. Until next time, take care of the little things and enjoy the trip.